A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Mem He, Yevamos 45a, pagination 89. We're dealing with cases similar to intermarriage, and we're all familiar with the great tragedy of intermarriage, where a Jewish boy or a Jewish girl marries a non-Jewish person. So, in the case of a boy marrying a non-Jewish girl, the children are not Jewish, and that's not our primary case for today's discussion. We're going to be discussing when a Jewish girl is with a non-Jewish boy, and what are the ramifications of such a situation. In a case of intermarriage, we understand the tragedy. They're going to live together as husband and wife. They're going to have children. And how the children are going to be raised and with what level of commitment and spiritual identity is going to be a very confusing situation. And the pasuk describes it, ki yosir es bincha, that a child who's Jewish is going to be identifying with a mixed situation or worse. Very often, intermarried couples end up with the lowest common denominator, which doesn't serve the children very well, or with a false identity. Our discussion is even beyond intermarriage. Simply a young lady who spends a night with a non-Jewish boy. This unfortunately presents itself as a case as a result of college experience very often, and the girl later identifies with Torah observance and is in a quandary as to what that seemingly innocent event plays a role in her life. What happens as a result of a Jewish girl being with a non-Jewish boy, even for one instance? So the Gemara over here mentions, last of the small lines, a concept which is codified in halacha according to some, at least lechatchila, shehavlad pogum lekahuna. If that one night stand, if you will, produces a child, the child is going to be pogum lekahuna. The child is totally Jewish, but there's a little bit of an indiscretion here. There's a little bit of a problem. It's not quite meyuchas with full positive lineage, and there's a little bit of a reluctance regarding such a child in terms of marrying, considering the lack of lineage and some level of pagam. The other factor besides the child, which we'll get back to in a moment, the other big factor is, what does it do to the woman herself? And unfortunately, many Jewish girls are undereducated. Perhaps their parents didn't realize the looseness of society and that on an intimate level such things could happen. So they never bothered educating in any way. But the ramifications are significant, both if the girl is a daughter of a Kohen, or if she ever wants to marry a Kohen. Let's take a look at the Gemara three lines down into the wide. Minayin la'oved kochavim ve'eved abal ha'kohenes v'alelevia v'aleyisraelis shepesluha. If a non-Jew is intimate with a woman, pasluha, it invalidates her. And this invalidation is on two levels. Any type of woman that's married to a Kohen, if she's intimate with a non-Jew, will invalidate her, even though it was against her will, but it will invalidate her to marry or stay married to a Kohen. And this would affect a girl, a penuya, an unmarried girl, if she's with a non-Jewish man and then wants to marry a Kohen, she's going to have been invalidated from marrying a Kohen. The Gemara is working in a time when Teruma was eaten and Paslua, that she's invalid, also affects the fact that she will no longer be able to eat Teruma. If she's the daughter of a Kohen, she won't be able to eat Teruma anymore. If she's married to a Kohen, likewise, this relationship, this incident, is going to invalidate her from eating Teruma. There's another ramification which needs to be borne in mind in our time, and that has to do with the laws of Pidyon HaBen. If a firstborn is born to parents who are non-Kohanim and non-Leviim, then there's a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen to redeem that firstborn by giving certain amount of money to a Kohen to redeem the child. If either parent is Kohen lineage or Levi lineage, then the child does not need Pidyon HaBen. The question that comes up, unfortunately, is that a girl is the daughter of a Kohen, but she had a relationship intimately with a non-Jew, which invalidates her as a Kohen status person. And therefore, when she gives birth to a child, the first reaction might be, hey, her maiden name was Kohn. Her father is a Kohen. They don't require Pidyon HaBen, or do they? Because if indeed she was invalidated as a Kohenes, then her child would require Pidyon HaBen. They could do it quietly, they don't have to embarrass her, but it would require Pidyon. Rav Moshe Sternbach, in volume 4, 242, discusses a case where the woman wants to get the child a pidyon because she knows the child needs a pidyon, but doesn't want to inform her husband, or certainly doesn't want to inform the over bar mitzvah child that he needs to be poda himself because of her prior life. And he discusses solutions, how they could get around it and get the child to be redeemed. We mentioned as we began that a child produced from a Jewish girl, non-Jewish boy, would be pogum, some level of stigma associated with it. The Gemara on the bottom tells us a story . It's about 12 lines from the bottom. Dahuda osa kamei de Rav. They told Rav, Omale ovid kachovim ve'evet abo basiso mahu. What's the halacha if a non-Jewish man lives with a Jewish girl? Omalo, he answered, Havlad kosher, the child is okay. It's kosher. Omale, so he said, I'm such a product. I was born from a non-Jewish father, Jewish mother. Havli biratoch, give me your daughter in marriage. Lo yahivna loch. And he didn't want to. Omar simi barchia l'rav, the expression goes, Amri inchi, gamla b'modai akavo rakto. They say an expression that there's a camel in Modai that's dancing in a small area, a kava, in a small area, it's doing a dance, it's doing a jig. And that's the rumor, ha kava. here's the amount of room, the limitations. Vaha gamla, and we have the camel. Vaha madai, and here's the place. Velo rakta, and it's not doing the dance. In other words, you're not observing that which you yourself hold, that this gentleman is totally kosher. Amale, and his response was, in a havoc, Yeshua ben Nun, even if he was like Yehoshua ben Nun, lo yahivna lebrati, I wouldn't give him my daughter. In other words, the lineage is very important to me, and that's my choice. This pigam, though, this stigma, is clearly not a universal type of stigma, because the Gemara tells us a solution for such a person. Zil itamer, you have the right to hide your identity. Onosiv bar minach, or to marry someone like you, who also has some level of stigma, some level of discomfort that it wasn't a perfect lineage. But you do have the right, zil itamer, to hide your identity, and it's not considered deceit. If you go to a different place and they don't ask, you don't have to report it. It's not considered a universal stigma. And therefore, if you would relocate and people would be comfortable with you, they would get to know you first, perhaps, and they would recognize your good qualities, then you would be fine. You would get married. It's not a stigma of halacha, only regarding a kohen, as we mentioned. Or, if someone's not comfortable, they're not comfortable. We have to be honest, but it's not required to be reported. In fact, the Gemara on Amud Beis tells us, the last third of the page, V'hilchasa ovik hachavim ve'ever abar bas yisrael avalad kosher, the child of such a union is kosher. And Rava achshere l'rav mori bar rochel, Rava actually ruled like that regarding Rav Mori bar Rachel. Rav Mori, the son of the woman Rachel. Rachel was assaulted by a non-Jewish man, and the result of that union was this person, Mori, who became a great person known as Rav Mori. Umanye bepursi de Bovel. He was appointed to the elite of the community. And we see factually that such a child is kosher and accepted. There is an interesting discussion how to give an aliyah to such a person who does not have a Jewish father. So we see here that Rav Mori was known as Bar Rachel, the son of Rachel. That's how he was known. And the Dagol Merivava in Shulchan Aruch Evno Ezer Kuf Chavtes says that that's how such a person should be known, by his mother's name. In most modern applications, we view that as a very uncomfortable thing to do, to call the person by his mother's name, and it would be embarrassing and uncomfortable and a stigma that's not warranted. And therefore, people either typically choose to be called Ben Avraham, the same way that a ger is called Ben Avram. Avram is the father of us all. And like this, no one has to know whether his father's name really was Avram, or it's referring to Avram Avinu. Or in some cases, I've heard people choose the grandfather's name, meaning the maternal grandfather, and use that Hebrew name as their father's name. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.